Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Good morning. I am joined on this Halloween morning with Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, back with us. Teresa, happy Halloween to you. Thanks for joining us.
Happy Halloween. Don't be scared, everybody. It's just Halloween.
I didn't find any scary music, so I thought we'd just get right into it. Teresa helps us out.
Be scary seeing what I look like. It's radio, so you don't have to be scared.
Welcome to the club. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and I mean lawns yet, because Therese, I'm looking at that forecast and hearing it, what Al just said, and it's we're going to have another chance at those leaves. At least I am.
You got to get the leaves picked up.
Because it can kill the grass, right? It can kill the lawn.
Well, you put mulch on your garden to stop the weeds from growing, and putting mulch or leaves on your lawn will stop your lawn from growing.
Yeah, I've seen it done.
Think of those leaves as mulch. Now, if you're trying to kill your lawn, perfect, leave the leaves there.
Now, if you don't have a great amount of leaves and you have a recycling mower, that's actually beneficial for the lawn unless it's real deep, right?
Right, right. As long as when you're done mowing, you can see the grass, you're fine. So even if there were a number of leaves and you had one of those wonderful mulching mowers, it crunches up all the leaves so tiny that they then just will melt right into the soil before winter, and it'll be wonderful. When you're done seeing, if you can see the lawn, you're okay.
All right, very good. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, I mean both, you ask Teresa Rooney either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. That's the same number for either the phone call or a text message for Teresa. Now, have you, as the master gardener there and around your yard, your lawn, your area there, is there anything like in your garden you're going to be doing this final week or this next week?
You know, not really. I've made it because I'm really lazy. So I like everything really sustainable and low maintenance. So I have no turf. I have trees and shrubs. So when the leaves fall down, all I have to do is make sure I brush off the sidewalks. There's nothing else I have to do except to remember to protect those bushes from rabbits and deer. I don't have deer, but I do have a lot of rabbits because I live in the city and we have I know they're not flocks, but they're like herds of rabbits here. So you have to remember to start putting up your chicken wire or your fencing for deer and rabbit. This is the time to do it because you don't want to be out there in the middle of a blizzard putting it down. Put it down now when it's fairly nice. It's going to be a beautiful week next week. Go and vote, get your vote in, and then go and work on your garden and put up all your fencing to protect all your spireas and whatever else you want to protect. But no pruning. No fertilizing. Do keep watering.
Now, we are getting into the season, not this week maybe, but for trimming oak trees, let's say. Are we not? Yeah.
What you want to do is when you're trimming those trees that are susceptible to a lot of diseases, you want to think, could insects be out? Yes, they could, because we're going to have some warm, sunny days. Even on a cool, sunny day, insects will be out. So then no pruning. And then you really don't want to prune until the tree is dormant. Now, we're at that time in the season where unless something's dead is dead, you can prune dead anytime. But unless something's dormant, you don't want to be pruning it. We're too close to it becoming dormant. It would start to put out growth. It takes energy from the roots. It weakens the plant for next year. So no pruning until it's been, if it's perennial frost killed, if you have to cut it down, you can. We suggest you leave them up. But pruning your trees, wait until the ground is frozen. And then if you have to prune or wait until January, February, March, that's a better time to prune a lot of our trees.
Okay. By the way, we've cleared the phone lines. If you want to chat with Teresa, again, or send a text, same number, 651-989-9226. Oh, we have a bunch of text messages already. Let's see. Is it too late to plant a spruce tree?
Yes.
It is too late.
It really is. Now, if you have an opportunity to get a really good deal on it, and you can get a guarantee that if it dies over the winter, you can get your money back, go ahead. Otherwise, because it's not going to make it. We do not have 8 weeks until the ground freezes. The ground will be frozen before 8 weeks. So No, it is really too late to plant that spruce.
Okay, got a couple of tree questions this morning. I planted, Dexter says, a young maple tree at the end of September. Mm-hmm. Number one, I put leaves around as mulch fenced in. Should I keep the leaves there, or do I still keep watering when it's so cold outside?
Okay, you need to keep watering everything until the ground is frozen, unless you've had an inch of water in your location a week. You have to keep watering. Now, I worry that you said you put leaves around and fence them in. You don't want to have anything touching the trunk of a tree. You don't want to pile leaves up touching the trunk of the tree. Pull those leaves back so they're a good 1 or 2 inches away from the trunk of the tree. So you have this little no man's land right around all of your trees and shrubs. There's like a blank space. It's harder for insects and critters to cross over there. Anything touching the trunk of your tree is going to get moist. It's a great place for insects and critters to live, and they can do damage to your trees. Diseases can start. Even like a maple tree, if you pile those leaves up too high, you can actually get roots coming out of the maple tree trunk, and they can then you get you get circling roots and all that kind of stuff. So you don't want anything next to the trunk of the tree. But do keep that fence up to keep the rabbits away, because maple bark is absolutely delicious in the winter if you're a rabbit.
Well, that's a feast for them.
Yeah, it is.
Sure.
Well, right. You like maple syrup, so.
That's true. Good point. If you have a question for Master Gardener Therese Rooney, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. Here's one. It says, I mulched my first year perennials yesterday. With the warm temperatures coming this week, will that affect them negatively before hard frosts?
Well, what you can mulch things. That's fine. But if you're putting down your winter mulch, you really should wait until the ground is frozen before you put your winter mulch down. If you put winter mulch, which is usually straw or a huge amount of leaves where you're putting down 3, 4, 5, 6 inches of product, if you put that on warm ground or ground that isn't frozen, the little voles and the field mice will be so happy because they will live in that mulch. It will slow down or even prevent the ground from freezing very well. And so the voles can dig through and they will feast on all of the roots in your garden. So if you're putting down a winter mulch, you need to make sure the ground has just about frozen or is frozen, because you don't want to make a nice habitat for voles and mice. If it's just a regular mulch, that's not a problem, but do keep watering.
All right, good idea. If you have, a lawn question or a garden question, bring it to us either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. If you're just tuning in, Master Gardener Therese Rooney helping you out this morning. Let's take a quick break here. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Lawn and Garden Talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, thanks to the help we get from good folks like Master Gardener Therese Rooney, who's helping us out today. We do have a line open if you want to fill it, 651-989-9226, or do like a lot of folks, send us a text. It is the same number to get your text question to Teresa. In the meantime, Teresa, let's go to the phones. I think Pat is waiting there in Arden Hills. Pat, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi there. I have a endless summer, 15 years probably that old, and I've cut it back. I haven't cut it back. This summer I had no blossoms. Should I cut it back?
You know, you can cut that back in the spring if you want. Those plants are very heavy feeders, so remember you do have to fertilize a lot, and they might need a little more sun. So if it's gotten a little shadier where it is, it might need to be moved next year. But you can cut it back when it's frost-killed if you must. Otherwise, I would consider waiting until the spring to cut it back, and then just wait till it comes out of dormancy. They're really slow to come out of dormancy. See what didn't make it through the winter. Cut off the dead stuff, and then you'll probably be starting with a bigger bush, and then do fertilize as soon as it comes out of dormancy in the spring, because they are very heavy feeders. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Pat. Texter says, I have a succulent paddle, also called a flapjack plant, and I cut one of the stalks off. How do I root it?
Okay. I think that was maybe a cactus, I'm guessing. I've never heard of a flapjack plant, but that's okay. It's probably a kind of cactus. What you want to do is that the part that you cut off, you want that just to callus over a little bit, and then just set it in a really sandy, damp soil, just like it would in nature. It would fall down in nature, and then it would kind of get lodged into the soil, and then rain would come, and then the roots will start there. So you may have to prop it up with some little bamboo sticks or something like that to keep it standing. We just want it in some damp soil, not soaky, wet, damp, but just some nice damp sand or soil. Good luck.
You know, we should mention, Teresa, although we're coming up this week to some nice, we can still get outside kind of weather. For those, you know, who maybe never checked out the university website, give us that info because there's some great reading there. Great info.
Oh, it's amazing reading. It's extension.umn.edu. And just click on the Yard and Garden line. You can go and read this, their Yard and Garden news. There's all kinds of cool plants on there, like blue gentian or... Do you till your garden every year, your veggie garden? Should you be doing that? There's some good information on that. And then Dr. Mary Myers has some great grasses for fall foliage. There's just great articles. And then if you actually have time to get out, you could go to the Arboretum. You do need a ticket or a time to get in there. They'll be having lights coming up. The winter lights will be coming up next month. And the Apple House is ready. You don't need a ticket to go there. You can go to the Apple House. That's just a few miles down the road to the right or to the north. And get some apples, get some apple cider. In a few weeks, they'll be having a little boutique, so you can get apple presents. We all need presents. So there's just so much to do because we're going to have beautiful weather coming up. But do go to the extension.umn.edu. You can get a lot of great information there. Start thinking about orders and seed catalogs. Take pictures of your garden. Just all kinds of great ideas.
Really just packed with it. We'll mention that again, too, Teresa, before you leave us today. Again, if you want to call in your garden, lawn or garden question, by all means, or send a text. It is the same number, 651-989-9226. Teresa, here's a text that says, I have a few carrots in my garden that I did not dig up. They are covered up with a heavy tarp. Now, if I dig them today, can they still be cooked and used?
Oh, sure. You know, as long as that soil doesn't freeze, you can leave them out there. So you could even put like straw or something over that tarp. And as long as that soil doesn't freeze, they won't be growing, but they'll be getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Maybe you can use them in a Thanksgiving dish. So you could pick some fresh carrots right out of your garden for Thanksgiving, and they would be the sweetest things you've ever had in your life, just like candy. As long as the ground's not frozen, yep, you can leave them out there or dig them up and munch on them.
Yum. Sounds good.
Doesn't it?
Let's go.
Now.
let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Bev, I think, is first up. You're calling from Spring Lake Park. Bev, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Bev.
Hi, Teresa. I have a question about, I have a mole that's going crazy in my lawn. Is it too late to put Grubex down?
Okay, so it is too late for the Grubex. The grubs have actually moved down further into the soil. So the mole is out there, and the mole is wonderfully eating all of the worms and the grubs and things like that in your soil. You can use a product called Mole Tox or Mole Away. It's basically castor oil. And what you want to do is start at one end or nearest your house of your property and apply it as the directions say. And then in a week or so, apply more further out, and you just want to kind of drive the mole away. Now, you were right in saying you have a mole, because even though it looks like you have 400, you probably only have one, they can dig a tremendous amount each day. But they are aerating the soil. They are eating all those critters that can do damage to our lawns and trees and shrubs. So once those critters are gone, the moles will be gone. But if you don't want them, there are some products you can use. So you don't want to use the Grubex. You'd want to use something that gets rid of moles. That basically just drives them away and makes them uncomfortable.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Beth. I think Sharon is on the line calling in this morning from Brooklyn Park. Sharon, you're on with Teresa.
Thank you.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I have a variegated Norway maple. It's probably about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, how can I get all the leaves to be variegated? Many, like half of them, are just solid green.
Yep. So what happens with the variegated maples? They do revert very easily, and there's nothing you can do to change. Once that branch has reverted to green, there is nothing you can do. You just have to cut that out. And if you're not careful, your entire maple will soon be plain green. It will not be variegated. So they're not the most wonderful trees to plant because they do turn so easily, but you have to cut out every bit of non-variegated foliage. So cut those limbs out that have the non-variegated foliage. It's not the best time of year to do it, but you can do it. It's not a big deal. Maple trees aren't that touchy, and you do want to get that out there right away. It's just like if you have bishop's weed, which is like a weed that takes over your world. It's green and white, but if you let it turn plain green, that green stuff is so much more aggressive and will take over everything. So the plain green of the maple is so much more aggressive and takes over the entire tree.
All right, very good. You know, we need to take a bottom-of-the-hour break and look at that warming forecast. So, but we do have another half hour of the show to go. But don't wait. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in. Again, it's the same number, 651-989-9226. You can ask your question of Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on our Smart Garden Show, again, around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long on this end. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, helping you out today. And as usual, Teresa, we have callers and we have a bunch of texters as well. So let's get you back to work here.
Okay.
Let's grab a phone call. First of all, Rice Lake is our next stop. Helen, I think, is there. Helen, you're on with Teresa.
Hello, Helen.
Thank you. Could you tell me, last year for my lawn, I stopped the service of fertilizing and weed killing because it didn't seem to be, my lawn was bad. Mm-hmm. So I put gypsum and, also, lime, and it was much better. But I was wondering, would I treat gypsum again next year?
Okay. Helen, are you a coffee drinker?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So for all you coffee drinkers out there, save the ground, let them dry out, and then just go out in the dark of the night so your neighbors don't see you and toss your coffee grounds like you're feeding chickens onto your lawn. It will add a little bit of nitrogen and add some nice organic matter to the soil. Also, what you can do is top dress with just a little bit of compost. And that will help, too. Now, if you wanted to add anything like gypsum, or usually we don't need to add things like lime because our pH is so high already, I would definitely suggest getting a soil test. So you can go online to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, find out how to get a soil test, and get the soil test done. And that will tell you how to get a really good lawn. You may want to also next fall consider, or next August or September, consider aerating your lawn soil, because that will help it fluff up a little bit, be more relaxed, not as compacted. Remember to mow your grass high and only cut down the blade. So leave it get up to about 4 inches, cut it down to about three and a half, up to four, down to three and a half. Just do that. By having taller grass, your grass will be healthier, will have deeper roots. Make sure it gets the 1 inch of water a week, either from you or Mother Nature. And then just add some compost, occasionally top dress lightly with compost or your coffee grounds. And that should be all, especially if you're leaving the cuttings on the soil. That should be just wonderful. And then you can really get that, build that healthy soil. That's what you're looking for, to build a really healthy soil to get that lawn as healthy as possible. But I do suggest, before you start adding other amendments that can change the pH of the soil or anything, that you get a soil test and make sure that that's the best route for your soil. Good luck.
And I should mention, too, maybe we should mention that you can get that soil test through the University of Minnesota, right?
Exactly. Yep. So it's all done locally here. It's about $16, $17. There's really good directions online how to do it. So you would get a soil test, say, for the front yard or for the backyard or for a garden. You can't just do a soil test that will do everything because your garden is so different. Your yard can be so different from the front or the back. So think of the area and then what kind of a plant you're growing there. Is it grass? Is it going to be a garden? Is it a vegetable garden? Is it trees? What are you growing? That will help you decide how to get your soil test done. Then if you have a question and you get your soil test back and it makes no sense at all to you, you can go to your local garden center. They should be able to decipher it. Or you can go to extension.uman.edu, click on the yard and garden line, go to Ask the Master Gardener, send them a picture of your soil test, your results, or even tell them what it is and say, I don't understand what this means. They'll decipher it for you.
All right, good. Texter wants to know, is it a good time to cut back buckthorn?
It is a good time to remove buckthorn.
Isn't it always a good time to remove buckthorn?
It's always a good time to remove buckthorn. Please, remove buckthorn. The reason, you know, there's nothing against buckthorn as a plant. It's a wonderful plant in its place. But here in Minnesota, it takes over our native areas. It encroaches on and kills a lot of plants that are our native plants. The birds will eat the berries, but it gives them diarrhea, so they poop them out very quickly. So it's not really nutritious for them. It just is not a good plant for us. So it's not a bad plant. It's not a good plant for us. So we don't want buckthorn. So
nope.
Remove buckthorn. You can use a brush killer on it. Again, read and follow the instructions. Make your cuts. Apply your brush killer. But read and follow and understand the instructions. Is it too cold? Is it too hot? Is it too windy? Always follow the instructions. But yes, get rid of your buckthorn.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Mary is calling in from Minneapolis. Mary, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Question for you. Two questions, actually. We had to have a silver maple cut down, actually a large, anyway, doesn't make, but we had to get rid of it. And now we have tons of wood chips left from the trunk. Is there anything we can do with them? I know we can put them around plants. Can we throw them on a lawn? And then the other bigger question is, can we still plant another tree this fall?
Okay, so you could plant another maple or a deciduous tree. You're getting to the end of that. Maples are pretty okay to plant whenever you can get them. That's fine. If you can plant this fall, do prepare the soil. Maybe mix in a little compost into that soil. Normally, for a tree, I wouldn't say mixing compost, but you're just getting the hole ready for next year and get the area all ready for next year. Order your tree so it's right as soon as you can plant it in the spring. Go ahead and plant it. With the wood chips, you can use them in your gardens. Or you wouldn't want to use them on your lawn because, again, they will kill your lawn unless that's your object and then you can your desire, and then you can use them on your lawn. But you can use the wood chips around your location. Absolutely no problem at all. Mm-hmm. Hope that helps.
All right. Good deal. You're going to have to help me with this one. Texter says, I got martagon lilies. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love martagon lilies.
Well, there you go.
Sorry, I just went to my happy place for a minute.
A family emergency kept me, Texter says, from planting them. Is it too late or what to do?
You know, I would try to get them in the ground as soon as possible. This is the same for everything that you have not planted. Put it in the ground now. Go out there today. We have an extra hour because daylight savings time ends today. So, you know, you can go to sleep an hour later tonight. That's okay. You'll still have your 8 hours of sleep because you're going to set your clocks back. So get out there, plant them now. Plant all your daylilies, any of the flowers you didn't plant, any of the bulbs you didn't plant, any of your daffodils. Proof. Get everything in the ground now. Give it a really good drink of water, and if you want to, you can add a little bit more mulch than you normally would. Instead of maybe an inch, you can add 1 or 2 or 3 inches. That'll just slow that ground down from cooling down a little quickly. You'll buy some time for the plants to root out. But yes, get them planted, please.
Another text says they have daffodil bulbs in pots. Can I still move those into my garden beds?
Yes, go ahead and sink those pots into the garden beds. That's absolutely wonderful. Make sure you keep them well, keep them watered so that the daffodil bulbs can root out really well. And then I'd probably give them a nice covering of a bag of leaves or mulch or something like that when the ground starts to freeze.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Fred is calling in from Lakeville this morning. Fred, you're on CCO with Teresa Rooney.
Hi, Fred.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call. I'm wondering if I can trim suckers off of elm trees and maple trees now, or do I have to wait another month or two when they're completely dormant?
You know, suckers, you want to trim the suckers, but again, you don't want to cause diseases. You know, I'd probably wait until maybe after this warm spell. The maples, you can go ahead and trim, no problem. The elm, I would just hesitate just a little bit to trim those. Wait until till the weather is cool. Maybe we're going to get a really cool night or something like that, and then go out in the evening and trim those suckers so it can go through the cool night. Within 15 minutes, the cuts will start to seal up, and that will prevent the insects from coming into it. But if it's cold, then they won't be flying. But even today, it's going to be a little warm, and this week it's going to be warm, and the insects will be flying. So go ahead with the maples. Hold off just a week or two for them.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Lynn is next on the phone, calling in from Coon Rapids, and then we'll grab some text. Lynn, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Lynn. Good morning. Two questions, I guess, more or less tied together. I have old bearded iris along the side of my house. We put a ground cover of vinca vine that absolutely took over everything.
Mm-hmm.
The first question is, can that have stopped them from blooming last year? And then secondly, when we tried to pull the vinca vine back, we found a bunch of ground bees that are not supposed to be aggressive, but they were because we were disturbing them.
I'd be upset if you were wrecking my house, too. I'd be pretty mad at you.
Oh, my gosh. They chased my son. But
yeah.
I think they're probably gone now. Is it an okay time to go move that vinca vine? And do you think that may have stopped the iris from blooming?
It could have slowed down the iris from blooming. They may have gotten a little too crowded. By themselves, they might have just done that on their own, getting too crowded. So you'll probably have to divide them next year. It's too late this year. You know, August would have been a great time to divide them. But do pull back the vinca vine at least around the irises, and that'll give you a good idea of how, if the irises look really crowded, you'll know that that's the reason. Just pull that vinca vine back a little bit. Hopefully the ground bees won't be so mean and nasty, and that should work. You could wait till a cool day to do it, too. That will help also.
Some of those critters are pretty aggressive.
Well, you know, how would you feel if somebody was wrecking your house? You know?
Yeah, you have a point there.
That's their home. They're just defending it. That's all they're doing. They're just being themselves. And it's a surprise to us sometimes. And sometimes their homes are not going to work in the right place, so they have to go to another place.
And they don't even pay rent either. So
and they do pay rent, but you know they do pollinate and everything else. And unless
that's
you
true.
Take over that job, sometimes we got to let them be there too. Because I'm not willing to go out there and pollinate.
You have to help me with this one now, because I don't remember all my Latin. Okay. It says, I planted 15 Muscari arminiacum bulbs. Did I get that? Was I close?
You got that really close. Yep, that's really good. The Muscaris, yep.
Mm-hmm. That was on September 19th. Now, Texas says, when I was cleaning up leaves on October 19th, I noticed 8 of the bulbs have started coming up already. Have I lost these bulbs for next spring?
No, the Muscaris, the little grape hyacinths, are absolutely the most wonderful little plants. They are the plant that I try to remember to plant when I plant bulbs. And the reason is they send up leaves in the fall. That reminds me, there's bulbs here. So then I know not to plant more tulip bulbs in that area. It's like, then I don't have to remember markers or anything because the Muscaris are saying, don't plant them. So that's absolutely perfectly normal. No problem. They're happy. They're going to come up next spring. They're going to bloom beautifully for you. Everything is right when your garden. You did perfectly well.
All right, good. In a moment, we're going to get a couple of phone calls. There are folks hanging on the line there. I don't want to keep them on too long. So Okay. Let's take this break and come right back with more Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Denny Long here on this Halloween morning with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney reminding you again, we lose daylight saving time overnight tonight. Don't forget, turn your clocks back 1 hour. Got an extra hour of sleep. I tell you what, Teresa, as I mentioned, we have callers and we have texters. Let's see how many we can help out before the end of the show. John is calling from Lakeville. Thanks, John. What's your question?
Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. Say real quick, they recommend not growing blue spruce anymore in Minnesota.
Not growing what? I'm so sorry you cut out. What?
What was that? Growing what, John?
Blue spruce, they recommend not growing them in Minnesota anymore. What's a good replacement for that? That would help, like a windbreak.
Want to look at the Black Hills spruce would be a possible good replacement. The Blue Hills tends to die out after about 20, 25 years because our summers are just too hot and humid for it. Now, the Black Hills spruce, they're running into some problems, too. I would definitely suggest going to the extension.umn.edu website and clicking on the Yard and Garden and get some information about possible windbreak trees, evergreens. That will give you some really good up-to-date information.
All right. Thank you, John. Bob's calling in this morning to ask a question from East Bethel. Bob, you are on CCO. What's your question?
Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning. Up until we had that snow here, I don't know, a week or so ago, we noticed a very pretty plant down in our wetland. And then upon further review, we found out that it was a Colombian monk's hood.
Okay.
And reading about it, it says it's a very poisonous plant.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to, I don't know, it's very cool looking. I'd like to transplant it, but is that a no or what?
You know, we grow a lot of poisonous plants in our yard every single day. We probably have plants out there that you don't realize are poisonous, but are deadly poisonous. As long as you're not eating them, you're fine. But monkshood is absolutely wonderful. Since it was in your wetland, you're going to find out that you need to put it in another similar location. So if you have a damp area in your yard, definitely I would consider transplanting some of it, not all of it, just some of it. Unless it's a protected wetland, then you can't go in there and take anything out. But definitely go ahead and move it, and not a university thing, but they'll protect you against werewolves too.
Okay,
just in case you have a werewolf problem, the monks would protect you against them.
All right, excellent, good news. It's Halloween.
It is Halloween. It's also called Wolfbane for a reason.
Oh, really? All right, that's the Wolfbane. All right.
Yep, it's an absolutely beautiful plant. They're different varieties, absolutely beautiful, but all parts are extremely poisonous. Yeah.
Interesting. Texter says this, I have a vinca minor that grows so thick that it overtakes my stepping stones and my perennials in my flower garden. Is this the time to thin it out, or do I do that in the spring?
You know, I'd probably do it in the spring. You know, that the lady who had the irises being taken over, I just wanted her to pull that back a little bit from the irises, give them a little breathing room over the winter time. But yeah, trim back things in the spring. You know, clean them up in the spring. If you want to pull some now, you can. But I just wait till the spring, and it should be fine. And now, if you said that there were stepping stones, do take them off the stepping stones so that you're not stepping on them and slipping and falling. So do clean that up so your stepping stones are nice for the winter. Mm-hmm.
Listener says, I let new asparagus grow. Do I cut it down fall or spring? Does it hurt to have lots of snow piled on the roots?
It does not hurt to have the snow on the roots. You would want to cut it back in the spring. I try to suggest that people leave as much up in the fall as possible. When you leave things standing up in the fall, if they're hollow stems, our native bees can overwinter in there. With the asparagus, you'd want to clean that up in the spring, though. And then by having the sticks standing up and all the stems standing up, they'll grab leaves as they fly through the garden in the air, and they'll almost like just protect the roots a little bit. So then you again let the snow be on that. Now, if you're piling snow on something, that's not as insulating as if the snow just comes down naturally. Snow just naturally comes down. There's a lot of airspace. There's a lot of insulation. Snow piles aren't that insulated, but they will give some protection to the ground.
All right, Teresa, there's a couple of text messages that deal with hydrangeas. One says, how can I protect a hydrangea plant this winter? And the other says, I planted potted hydrangea the second week of October. Should I put straw around them now? So how would you handle a hydrangea?
For a hydrangea, how to protect it, make sure that you're protecting the trunk from deer and rabbits or the stems from deer and rabbits. And if it is a tree form, cut back some of the flowers. You can use them as decorations in the house or outside, or they can go to the compost bin. And the reason I say to do that is because those flowers can grab a lot of snow. They can get really heavy and they can break the branches. So you can still leave some out there. You just don't want it as heavy so it takes out the whole tree. You just want to kind of figure out what you can take. Again, you can put down the winter mulch once the ground has frozen. You want to make sure that the ground has frozen. But do put up your barriers for the disease, for the deer and the bunnies, because they might munch those hydrangeas.
You know, we have a couple of watering questions, and I'm looking at the forecast, and I know I shut off my water outside a bit ago, and tomorrow is November 1st. Mm-hmm. The texters are saying, should I keep watering my lilac trees and other shrubs?
If the ground's not frozen, you need to keep watering.
Yeah.
Because the plant roots are still growing. They're still grabbing nutrition from the soil. Maybe not as much, but they're still grabbing nutrition. They're still growing. They still need that moisture. Once the ground starts to freeze, the growing slows down or stops. So you don't have to worry about that. And that's hard, because when we get freezes in the night, you can burst hoses and pipes and everything else. So it's a tricky thing we Minnesotans deal with. But yeah, some years you have to keep watering into January. Just depends what the weather's doing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here's a listener's question. Is it true an apple tree germinated from a seed won't bear fruit? And why is that? Is that true?
No. It is true that the apple seed generated, or apple tree generated from a seed, will probably bear fruit, but it might not be what you're looking for. Apple trees that you get that are, say, a Honeycrisp, if you get an apple from that apple will be a Honeycrisp. But for it to be pollinated, it needed a different variety to pollinate. So when you get the seed from that, now you're dealing with all kinds of genetics from who knows who's the daddy. And so you don't know what the fruit is going to be. The Honeycrisp apple tree will always have Honeycrisp apples, but you cannot use those seeds to create more Honeycrisp. You have to do cuttings. So that's apple trees, because they have to cross-pollinate with a different variety. So then the generations in the future, who knows where they're pulling information from? So you don't know if you're going to get a fantastic apple or a really bad one. You just
right.
don't know.
We have about 3 minutes or less to go here, okay. Teresa, this morning. A listener wants to know, what type of shrubs and perennials should I plant in front of our St. Paul home? There's very little direct sun due to the boulevard oak trees.
Okay.
What do you think?
I have tons of ideas, but I would suggest instead, one, going out to the arboretum and looking into their shrubs and seeing what's growing in the shade. Two, going to the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and click on the yard and garden line. There are some great ideas for shrubs in the shade, for landscaping plants. There's a huge realm of information out there. So I would suggest that. And then next, go around your neighborhood or around places that look kind of like yours. See what you like. See what you don't like. Know what your aesthetic is, and then plant. Research all that information, drink some coffee or tea or your beverage of choice, and then decide what you want to get.
A couple of questions about bulbs, planting bulbs, specifically tulip, and the other text says, can I still plant bulbs? And this one says, can I plant tulip bulbs and cover with straw? What's your advice?
Plant tulip bulbs. Plant all your fall bulbs right now, your spring blooming bulbs. Get them in the ground. Water them well. You don't have to give them extra protection except daffodils. Maybe give them a little bit of extra mulch so you just float on the soil from warm, cooling down quickly so they can root out a little bit. Tulips, you can plant up until the ground is nearly frozen. So get those tulips in. You'll be so happy in the spring. And then protect them. You're going to want to protect them from squirrels digging them up, and you're going to want to protect them from rabbits and squirrels eating them in the spring, and deer.
All right, very good. Julie sent us a note here. Big thank you to Teresa. She answers your questions as a master gardener volunteer, and you are. And
I am a volunteer, but I have to say that this just feeds my gardening habit. So
that's
you're all helping me be codependent. Thank you.
Well, that's all right. We appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate you and your expertise, along with Julie and Mary as well.
Oh, Julie and Mary are fantastic. Yeah, I love listening to them.
All right, for 30 seconds, give us that website at the U of M.
extension.umn.edu. Click on the Yard and Garden line. Remember to turn your clocks back. You get an extra hour of gardening time. Go to bed at your regular time then. Remember to vote. Don't mail. Drop it off or vote in person. And today's a blue moon for Halloween, so enjoy
yes.
it. That's all I got.
All right. Happy Halloween. Thanks, Teresa.
Happy Halloween. Bye, everybody.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.